I have some good news. We're not going to cover all of the scripture this morning. Okay. It's too long for one time. And, you know, we also have some young people here, and they're going to be with us the entire time. So I want to be sensitive to that. But mainly I want to concentrate on one verse. Okay. We can do that, right? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Actually, one more half of a verse. Go your way. Okay. So today we're going to be thinking about discipleship, right? And discipleship is part of what we know as being ordinary time. Now, ordinary time may seem very strange to you. It seemed strange to me. Actually until very recently, but it is a very important part of the church history, and it's very, very valuable teaching for us to be able to know how we can live as disciples and grow in discipleship, okay? So this is where Jesus is talking to these 72, right, and sending them out. But he said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, therefore pray earnestly, right, for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, and sent them out, right? And they were very, very power-filled with really nothing on them except the clothes on their backs, and they went out into what we know is the harvest, right, around us. And so we want to pay attention to those verses. Please remember these two one and a half verses today, right, as we continue on. Now, what is ordinary time? I'm saying that we want to focus, keep our focus in these times on ordinary time. I'm thinking, okay, so that what does that mean? Well, this is a time, you know, we've been going through the lectionary and reading daily in a lectionary. I've been sending that out. That is taken from a compilation of verses that have been prepared by people, and it's in a very orderly way, okay? So the ordinary is really coming from that idea that they have orderly put scripture in place for us to grow in and to read from each day of the church year, right? And we think of, you know, the church, we're going to church, and then we hit a big time like Christmas, and then we'll hit a big time like Easter, you know, and we remember those things. But what happens in between? Well, that is really ordinary time. So ordinary time includes the days between Christmas and Lent, which is around March before Easter, right, leading up to Easter, and then between Easter and Advent. So Advent is coming like the end of November, beginning of December, that time leading up to there. But the time that we're in right now is called ordinary time. But we don't want to be misled by that, because it's not in the sense that it's ordinary without meaning, right? And that's the part that we're going to be getting in today, to give some depth and some foundation to that idea, so that we can really understand it and that it can enhance our discipleship, right? And so this period, which will last until mid-November, is the longest season in the church year. And their ordinary time is what we call the weeks that are not included in major seasons of feasting or fasting in the church calendar, such as Easter and Lent. Okay, so it's these other times of the days of your year, right? So there's something going on that is just as important and just as great, because every day that God gives to us is great, right? I mean, we focus sometimes on big holidays and things like that, but really our focus is every day, and we enjoy and have joy in every day of our lives. Do you see your life that way?
Yes.
That it's every day is a gift from God, and I have something that is going to happen to me, just like this surprise, right? We have something when we get up in the morning that is going to happen in that day, because God is with us and he's given our lives with that kind of a focus. It's an amazing thing that God has done for us. Let me read you. I have actually two articles that I want to refer to a lot today that are written by two Christian women that have wonderful things to say. One of them is Tammy Marie Grimm. And I read this journal article. I wanted to share some of the thoughts that she has to help us to be able to understand this idea of ordinary time. She's a Christian educator, right? She's into Sunday school and curriculums and things like that, and wanting to make strides. And she said, what if the curriculum for faith development took its cue from the ordinary? everyday lives that we lead? How might our understanding of discipleship as a way of Christian leading be expanded if it focused on the ordinary everydayness of our faith? How is it possible to foster healthy, engaged Christian disciples who are able to reflect and consider the lives they actually live? So in other words, you want to think about your life when you get into a situation with people in a class, right? You want to be engaged with it in that kind of a way. What is my life saying to me, right? And that's the challenge for us here in our church, to be able to do that, to say, we're engaging with Holy Spirit here. We're engaging with Jesus Christ here, the Father, the Almighty Creator. Our lives have meaning. It isn't just something separate from our everyday lives. It's something that God is doing in our lives. And then we come together in church and share all of that, right? So she goes on, ordinary time, she quoted someone, allows us not to just let time slip through our fingers, but to remember it, to cherish it, and to mark the span from one previous week to the following week. So it's this ordinary time is causing us to slow down. It's breathing. Can you take a deep breath? I need to do that. You know, that's what we carry around with us. And so that's the whole idea, is to take a breath, slow down, and start to look at your life with God's perspective. Beyond the root definition, meaning measured, ordinary also refers to the nature of the season in the life of the church and that of Christ. Descriptively speaking, ordinary time considers the daily earthly ministry of Jesus. So this scripture that we have today is about discipleship, right? So that fits into this whole scope of ordinary time, right? So we're reading this scripture today for that reason. It's been prepared by God for us, and the people who ordered it and put it into a place for us to read from. And I went to a lectionary, I went to a schedule that someone provided, and it's been a great help. It focuses us. It focuses us as a church as well, because if we're all reading the scripture together, there's great power in that. And there's also a togetherness in that. And there's also the room for people to share things that are not what I experience or you experience. We share how God has opened the scripture up to me, to ourselves, and then sharing that with others. And they say, oh, you know, I didn't really think about it that way. That's exciting, right? But we're looking at the same scripture, but God touches each life because each one is personal. It's an amazing thing that God has given us in his word. So we look at Jesus' earthly ministry, his preaching, his miracles, his time spent with friends, those events not associated with Advent and Christmas or Lent and Easter. And in that sense, ordinary time is contrasted with the extraordinary of Christ remembered in the other Christian calendar seasons when we celebrate his coming in Advent or his preparation for ministry in Lent or even his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension through at that time of Easter time. Someone said, ordinariness is the canvas against which we can appreciate more deeply the meaning of days, events, or moments that are extraordinary. Isn't that great? These people have really thought about these things, and this is the whole thinking behind ordinary time that we're introduced to here, right? So that's what we're getting into. It's not the ordinary time that is so important. It's God that has given us that, and that people have used in their teaching to bring it across. Robert Weber is a man that Lee Chan knows very well. She is going to an institute of worship in Florida and has been taking courses there. And he started this institute because he felt that Christians needed to learn more about worship and how to be more effective in worship. And so some of the things that she has introduced to us here have been a result of her studies there. Right. So she's learning and growing in that kind of a way, and then bringing it to the church and say, okay, can we do this? Right. Can we try this out? And maybe that will enhance our worship. And so the liturgy, which is really the worship time, comes from teaching like that. Right. And so he went into the history of all these things and brought things out. Well, there's one story that I thought was interesting. He learned from a Jewish family. There's something called the Shabbat. They come together each week. You guys know this from your Jewish friends, right? So they get together and they celebrate worship and prayer together on a weekly basis. And so the celebration of prayer and blessing provide an opportunity to focus on the ones with whom we spend the small moments of our life, our family, to celebrate them and their regular ongoing presence as the gift that they are. That's what he said. This weekly ritual is a time within the family's life to ask for God's anointing and to experience God's renewing presence in prayer. Right? And so this to him is that ordinary time. We're not overlooking our families, which we all tend to do, and we want to not do that, right? I can talk about this myself, right? You get so caught up in other things, and that's where I really got lost in my life when I was working in business. In the business field, everything was 24/7. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard I'm working. I became this, like, you know, the complete opposite of what I was created for, which is someone who is going to come and to commune and to take part in the life of family members and to say that is going to be something I'm going to foster and grow. So this is a great idea, isn't it? I mean, if we were to emulate this, and that's what Robert Weber said, he's not a Jew, but to take that time and to say, I'm going to celebrate time with family and the regular ongoing presence that we have together as the gift that they are. That's beautiful. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's so great. Now I want to go back to another article, this one by Tish Harris and Warren. The New York Times is an incredibly liberal newspaper, okay? But this woman has been writing things and, like, talk about surprises. You know, you go through the New York Times and you're kind of like, you're awash with all of these terrible things that are happening around us and people fighting and fighting and fighting, clashing and, you know, all these things. What are these people thinking? And then comes this flower in the midst of all of it. Right. And she writes this article about how we can make a difference in the world, right? How we can make a positive change in the world. And so she wrote about the ordinary time. And this is what she said. In some circles, the span of months, which are called ordinary time, is referred to as the long green growing season, because the liturgical color of the season is green, but also because it invites us to deepen our roots and to grow. So here's the surprise. Children, only children, please. Can you find something in the room and point to it that is green? Okay, we got the plant here that's green. There you go. That's the surprise over there. Okay, so these came with our church from the Lutheran church, and these banners, you know, that we have in the closet against. Take things out of the closet, right? We need to start doing that. These beautiful symbols have the green color, which stand for, according to this, the long green growing season. That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't sound like ordinary to me. It sounds like something beautiful. So right now, whether you know it or not, we are in a long green growing season as disciples of Jesus. That changed me when I heard that, when I read this. And in the midst of all the New York Times articles that were talking about all this hatred and violence and all these different things, this woman had the guts to write an article, and the editors had the guts to put it in the paper to show that there is hope in this world that is so dark.
Amen. That's right.
And it is something as simple as green, a color of green. Steve is wearing green today. You forgot about him.
Of course.
Uncle Steve is wearing green today, and so he has understood ordinary time. Good job, Steve. So since we have from now until Advent, which means December, you can wear green every day, right? You have green on your sneakers. So yeah, I can see it on the bottom too, see? See, great things are hidden, but they're there, right? Isn't that right, Natalie? So, you know, a wonderful thing comes to us when we just open our eyes and people bring it to our attention. And that's what God is doing through this time of ordinary. I have to thank Lee Chan, because she's the one that said, you should talk about ordinary time. So I thank her for that. There's one more thought that I want to share from her, and then some ideas I want to share. There was this guy who said that we need to, during this time, practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. Here's another great theme, right? Wear green, We're growing. It's a long growing season, right? Of green in the Lord and growing roots. And we're practicing resurrection. I love that, right? That's when the one, we were talking about t-shirts. You can put that on a t-shirt, right? And say to people, that's what we want. So let me just, while I have your attention, I wanted to be shorter today, but there's so many good things. Let me just read you a few of the ideas that Tish Harrison Warren gave as things we can do during this growing season. Number one, have more in-person conversations. We're here in person. Sorry, guys, on Zoom, but we want everybody to come together so that we can have conversation. And they were stressing it to love people or even tolerate them. It helps actually to speak with them.
Amen, yep.
You can do that also on the phone. I mean, so it's not limited to in-person, but she was saying in-person conversations during this season of the pandemic and everything, it's important. Get outside. We're going outside. We can go into the parks. Eschew mobs. Don't join in with mob kind of a perspective or the people that are yelling at each other, right? In online and in real life. Don't get involved with mobs of people who are trying to distract us from the growth. Read books. Give money away. Invest in institutions more than personal brands. That's an interesting one. Invest in institutions more than personal brands. Invest in children. Invest in children. We try to do that very, very much here in church, right? We're investing in the children. Because we care about, but we understand that I think very well in our church, we need to continue to do that. Observe the Sabbath. Take time to rest, reflect. Don't join in, don't fight against people, who have different ideas than you do. Learn from those we disagree with and try to keep in a conversation in a reasonable way with them so that the door remains open. Practice patience. These are all things for growing the time, in the growing time. Practice patience. That's another good one to put on a t-shirt. Dallas Willard said, commit yourself to the ruthless elimination of hurry. Commit to eliminating hurry out of your life. Slow down. I've heard this from people in our church that are saying that that's what we need to do. Right? The last one she mentioned, in the New York Times, pray. Which takes us to what is called the daily office in this ordinary time kind of thing, the world where people talk like this. They have fancy names. They call it the daily office. That means prayer. Okay. So practicing the daily office is to be regularly and repeatedly commissioned to go into the world and share God's love for the world with the world. To pray the daily office, which means to pray, to regularly pray in community was an integral part of Christian discipleship for many who lived near a church or under a rail in a monastic community. So prayer was basic and foundational to people who were practicing disciples. We need to understand this. I want to just share something with you. I have become more prayerful as I've gone through my life. And I understand people that have trouble praying. So if you have trouble praying, I'm not saying to you, so just begin to do it. What I'm trying to say is begin to think about what prayer means, right? Think about, take it in. Never go into something in your Christian life forcing it in, right? You're going to have people in your regular life pushing you and pushing you and pushing you to do things. And that never works out very well in my experience. It's the same thing in the church. We don't push and press and, you don't want to have that kind of a sense and we don't want to practice that. But breathe in this thought that prayer is the foundation of your life. It's going to help you in your life in every aspect of it because God is the one that you're speaking to. So she asked the question, what about those that don't have such structures and so much time to pray? What are other people going to do? Don't have the luxurious commodity, right? That they could pray long hours like the monks and people like that or have a more extended prayer life. She introduced this idea that the Celts, from Ireland, living close to the land, regularly ask God's blessing on what we in the 21st century would consider very basic tasks. They were workers. They were farmers. They were doing those kind of tasks, but in explicit and intentional ways, they sought to make God present in their midst by asking each member of the Trinity to bless the work upon their lives and their livelihood depended. They prayed for their work. So you, the young people, you can pray for your school. You can pray for your teachers. You can pray for your studies. You can pray for people that you know that may be struggling. I can't tell you how many times I have forgotten to pray for my wife. She's standing right next to me and I'm sitting there thinking all about myself. And God is saying, no, that you need to pray about others and for others. That's the whole thing. You could be in the same room sitting next to someone and you're caught up in this world of worry and thinking about what you're going to do when the opportunity is sitting right next to you to open up and to say, how can I pray for you? And that's coming up. St. Patrick, the guy after which a big drinking day has been made a holiday all over the place, was actually a saint and he was a famous missionary. He wore a breastplate prayer and it begins like this. For my shield this day, I call a mighty power, the Holy Trinity, affirming threeness, confessing oneness in the making of all through love. That was his prayer every day. And he has this long prayer that he prayed each part of his day, you know? And that's the whole idea that no matter where you are, what you're doing, you don't have to be a professional prayer person. What you need to do is understand that God is near and that this prayer life that you establish, no matter what you feel and you come up with to do that, is going to reflect your discipleship and your being connected to God. So think about that. When you get in front of your computer, when you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning, when you're going someplace driving to work, when you're all those are opportunities for prayer. That is the daily office. It is something that we do as a part of this ordinary time of growing, green growing time. There was one last thing I want to mention. The Celts valued time as reality made holy by a loving God. And they valued the daily, the routine, and the ordinary. Do you ever feel like your life is meaningless because it's always the same? There is a gift of God in that ordinariness. God comes into that, and if you're like me, and I understand it this way, there are many people that feel like, what is my life leading to? It's the same all the time. But God comes into those times, and he brings his love, and he brings meaning. And you're a disciple. You're a disciple every day. So the last part, you can take the insert from your, that was handed out. Does everybody have one of these? It says the band meeting. Right? And so this is something that was actually developed out of the time of Constantine. When Constantine came into power, the Christians became, you know, more accepted in the society and there were people coming together and they were meeting together and they were praying together and they were worshiping God together. And then John Wesley took that idea and he called it the band meeting. Okay, so the band stood for fellowship, a small group of people to come together. And so it says it was an intentional communal way of experiencing the deeper Christian life. And so it provides a place for support, encouragement, and exhortation of one another for growth in Christ. In band, persons covenant together to intentionally seek the presence of God in their life and come together that they might discern in community. For Christian disciples seeking God in intentional ways to mature in faith, band creates space for real life, 21st century Christians to experience communal spiritual formation in which the curriculum is their own life. So your curriculum is your own life. And that's where you come in with. And we've been practicing that by reading the lectionary scriptures to say, what does this say in my life? So there are three questions that are put down here for such a group, and it can also be used individually, that I want you to take home with you and look at. And I think I sent this out. If I didn't, I'll send it out to those at home. The first one is actually two questions. Where have you seen God this week? That would be something you get together and you talk about. Where have you seen God in this week? Or how has God been made real in your life this week? Right? And there's an explanation there that I won't go through now. You can read that. The second one is, how are things in your soul? Or how is your walk with God? These are very simple things that we can develop and ask one another. And we can also come together and say, we just want to have a meal. And then we want to open it up and we want to talk about life and how we're doing and things like that. You could do that in your family, right? Now, that's not going to be the easiest thing for people to answer up front, right? It's not going to be like they're used to hearing that. No, I mean, but try it, right? You'll like it. And then the last one is, how can I pray for you? I was walking down the street to IGA. And there was a woman standing on the side, and I don't always do this, but I just said hi. And I was shocked to the skin when she said, hi. You know, I mean, she had iPods in her, or is that what it's called? Yeah. In her ears, you know, so she was listening to something, but she heard me say something to her and she responded, right? So there was some kind of a contact there, right? And these are the kind of moments we can even take the risk to say, how can I pray for you? How are you doing in your soul? How are you doing in life? How are you managing? You know, anything like that. These kind of questions really help us. And the explanation that she gives here really help us to be able to understand why that's important. So I want you to take those home with you and read them through. And maybe you can come up with some other ideas of how, and I'd like for us to do that. Actually, the author in the New York Times said, write me and send me your ideas. I'd like to hear what you think of that we could do during this time of ordinary time, this time of growth, this time of green, long growth. So let's do that. Why don't we all, you know, think about that and come up with an idea. And I think you're going to have wonderful ideas and we can share that together. And what would be the best way for us to assimilate, like to bring those together? If people have, you know, each other.
I was thinking that when you send out a thing, sometimes respond to you, but you are the only one that can see it, and let me know what other people are not. So I wonder if you could encourage people to write something, share in either the prayer fellowship or the men's group or the sisters.
Okay, we also have a bulletin board here, and we're going to be here now more often. And Pat, you put that together, right? The bulletin board for prayer. You know, we could also use that as a community, you know, ordinary time, green growth. Maybe you can make it green, anything. But, you know, something like that to be able to put our ideas up there in some way for us to read and look at and then share together. How are we doing? How are you doing in your family now, you know, in this ordinary time? How are you doing in the green growth of ordinary time, you know, in your discipleship and stuff like that? It may be that people say something that is really kind of unexpected and doesn't seem to fit. And that's actually welcome because we're not going to tell people what they need to say. We don't want that. We want honesty, right? We want to be helping one another in this kind of a way. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So for everybody to hear, Michan was saying that if you would like to share how God is working in your life, you could say actually, where have you seen God this week? How are things in your soul? How's your walk? How can we pray for you? Those three things. Take those home, think about them, and come into a safe place like we have. Planet Fitness says, you know, there's no judgment. That's their big thing, right? There's no judgment. So this is a place where we don't want to have judgment. You come in and you feel like you can share the answer to these questions, then it'll help everybody to grow. Amen?